from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, and I'm coming to you with legitimate concern, with really real concern about the Philadelphia Phillies, basically for the first time all season. This is a team who has been, pretty much been front runners the entire year. They have had the best record in baseball for much of the season. Still, miraculously, when you pull up the standings, they still have the most wins in baseball, best winning percentage in baseball, just by nature of, some other teams right now in Major League Baseball not going well. And so, some of it is expected. It's a 162 game season. I get that there are going to be trials and tribulations and peaks and valleys in a Major League Baseball season. But I think there is real concern with this Phillies team. I don't know how, anyone couldn't agree. It's not just that they're losing. It is the way that they're losing. And so just to quickly recap, they've won two games in the entire month of July. First couple of weeks of April, they're playing like 500 baseball. Basically from mid-April to mid-June, they played out of their minds. And ever since they went to London, second weekend in June, it's been 500 baseball. And ever since the month of July, ever since they swept that Dodgers series, a couple of weeks ago, it's losing 2 out of 3 to the Oakland A's. Okay, it's, going to the All-Star break. That last game where they lost 18-3, felt like the last day of school, like they were mailing it in. But then you lose 2 out of 3 to the Pirates and 2 out of 3 to the Twins, and you got 6 games at home against the Cleveland Guardians, the New York Yankees. It's hard to feel good about this baseball team right now. It's hard, even though they have the best record in baseball, and it's easy to look at it in totality and say that this team is going to be fine, that there is no reason for concern with this baseball team. There is. Anyone watching the games would know that there absolutely is. The bullpen has become a struggle. I'm going to get to that later on in the show and kind of give you, my rankings right now, so to speak, of who I trust the most versus the least. And I'll little preview. My trust level with this bullpen is not as long as it used to be, certainly. When I look at this starting rotation, they're still holding up pretty nice. Aaron Nola in the series finale in Minnesota goes 6 innings, allows just 1 run, really grinded to get through those. Had jams in the 4th, 5th, and 6th inning to do it. Zach Wheeler looked tremendous in this series. But Ranger Suarez is kind of going through it right now, and whether it's a dead arm or a bad back or whatever, he has not looked like himself for a couple of starts here. Christopher Sanchez, for the most part, still looking pretty solid. And Tyler Phillips has actually looked pretty good. So the rotation, I'll say is overall still intact. The batting order, let's really start there and dig in there. There are like 5.5 hitters you really feel good about overall. You have Bryce, obviously. Trey Turner has been tremendous. Alec Bohm, who's been really, really good this season. RBI machine, doubles machine. He's up to 35 in the season, which is insane. JT Realmuto and Nick Castellanos was starting to put together, and Kyle Schwarber DH, but Nick Castellanos was starting to put together good at bats. Bryson Stott has been really, really bad this season. Johan Rojas, not a good hitter. Brandon Marsh has really struggled at the plate of late. And you're in a situation where it feels like the debate is no longer do they need a bullpen arm or a bat. It feels like the Dave Dombrowski needs to get both. It does not feel like it is optional for them to just get one or the other. The line of thinking of just stay pat, like I really like what they have going here, I don't want to mess up that clubhouse, is no more. I think if there were ever a time to have struggles like this, it would be this time of season, quite frankly. I mean, if you're going to have a period of time where you lose, what is it, 3 series in a row and 4 of your last 5 series, it would be leading right into the trade deadline, just to solidify any doubt in that front office's mind that this is what is necessary. And so, you know, my first overall takeaway on today's show is that just the lineup, they could use another bat. And I don't know if that's going to be in the form of Luis Robert. I don't know if it's going to be in Randy or Rosarena. That's who I would really, you know, kind of love to see in a Phillies uniform. Whether it's going to be a Brent Rooker or a Lane Thomas or a Taylor Ward, you know, those last couple of names, more platoon names in the outfield, if you will. But this team needs some offensive help. They're not getting enough from their outfield. Again, you have like half a outfielder that you feel confident about at the plate. Nick Castellanos sometimes, not Johan Rojas, and not right now Brandon Marsh. And that is really, really concerning. And that cannot continue to happen. At second, you have an everyday second baseman who has been one of the worst qualified hitters in all of baseball this season. At a certain point, it's going to get to a push is going to come to shove here, and maybe Edmundo Sosa starts getting more starts there. So that is really of concern of late right now. And just overall, this offensive production, the way this team's playing, it's not just the output, it's the focus, it's the plate approach, it's seeing guys swing at balls out of the zone or two strikes, not, you know, looking to go up there to protect, or, you know, there's been 5 balls in a row swinging at the first pitch. It just seems like free hacking, free swinging. And in this Twin series in particular, they went 17 innings without scoring a run. Bryce Harper hits a 2-run home run to open up the scoring in Monday's game. And then Phillies didn't have a hit for the rest of that after Bryson Stott let off the second with a single, and they didn't have a hit for the rest of that game. And then the following game, they didn't have another hit for a while there either. And it was just, it's really, really concerning to see the approach. And it almost looks like a lack of focus and guys smelling themselves a little bit and feeling like they have arrived when this team hasn't won anything. Like, they've been to the World Series, they've been to the NLCS, but this team has not won a championship. No guy in this starting lineup, and I'm trying to think, if even on this roster, has a World Series ring. And that, you know, that needs to be the mindset of, like, we all need, well, Kyle Schwarber does, before I go any further. Kyle Schwarber absolutely has a World Series ring. He won one with the Cubs, but the majority of this roster does not have a World Series ring. The majority of this roster has not arrived, so to speak, and in particular that batting order. Like, they need to stay hungry. Like, this does not look like the same bats that we saw first 3 months of the season. It's just, it's lackadaisical. Again, I chalked it up as going into the All-Star break at first, and now we're in a situation where it's not just going to the All-Star break. They weren't just mailing that part in. They came out with 2 road series, which, by the way, they didn't look good on the road either. 2 road series in Pittsburgh and Minnesota that have looked really, really bad too. So that is my kind of first concern here, is the starting lineup. You know, Dave Dombrowski absolutely, absolutely needs to go out and get a bat, in my opinion. One of the names I just listed, this lineup is not deep enough. It will not cut it. You will lose in October to the Braves or the Dodgers or some formidable opponent because there are just too many outs in this lineup right now. So that is for starters. The starting rotation, as I mentioned, overall pretty good. Ranger Suarez, I thought, was looking like a really, really solid, like 2 or even 1B to Zach Wheeler there for a while, and he's kind of hit a bit of a rut. That's kind of concerning. But the starting rotation, actually, the one positive to take away from the last week or so is that, like, they're keeping you in games. The only reason why the Phillies even had a shot to win the series finale in Minnesota was because of Aaron Nola. The only reason why they had a chance to win and ultimately did win the Tuesday night game in Minnesota is because Zach Wheeler kept them right where they needed to be and was electric, was an ace, goes 7 innings. And, you know, it's just when the bats were failing, this pitching staff is really picking this team up where it needs it and carrying this team where it absolutely needs it. And just another thing is, like, because this rotation has been so good, a lot of, you know, their innings have certainly piled up, and that might be what you're seeing with Ranger Suarez, with a little bit of dead arm, a little bit of fatigue. Like, is there a level of concern that once you get into August and September and October, that these guys have thrown so many innings as a result of going deep into so many games? I know Rob Thompson certainly tries to manage that, but he tries to manage his bullpen innings second. And I'm going to get to them in a little bit here, but like, they're in a situation where there's so much pressure on these starters right now to pitch and pitch well and pitch really, really effectively, because the offense is not getting it done. The starting rotation is the absolute least likely spot to be added to at the trade deadline. Now, I say that, and Dave Dombrowski had a really, really strong rotation in 2014 with the Tigers, and he added David Price to his rotation. So Dave Dombrowski is known for being aggressive, known for going all in. Nothing would surprise me, but what I believe the least likely to happen is that they add a starting arm at this trade deadline. I believe it's going to be both a bullpen arm or arms or bat/bats. So that's kind of where you're at with the rotation. And then this bullpen, just speaking generally, and then on the other side of the break, I'm going to get to kind of who I trust most in this bullpen, who I trust the least. This bullpen used to be like all reliable. Like, you felt like you had horses down there, like 4, 5, 6 guys you could really, really count on. And recently they've just been letting you down. Now, in Wednesday's game, let's be perfectly clear, like, the Phillies had a lot of missed offensive opportunities, and the bullpen wasn't great ultimately in the end, but Brandon Marsh also didn't make a play in left field that massively, massively cost this team the game and allowed 2 runs. It was a double off the bat of Carlos Santana, needed to be caught. Looked like he was approaching the wall gingerly, unsure if we'll see an injured list stint coming for him soon here. But it didn't appear like he should have been out there ultimately. It did not feel like that is something that should have happened. So again, Phillies lose 2-2 in Minnesota after losing 2 in Pittsburgh. They have now played, I believe, 102 games on the season, 60 games to go. 64-38 is what the Phillies' record is, still with a 9-game lead in the National League East, and a 60-game sprint to go. Exactly one COVID baseball season separates us between now and the end of the Major League Baseball season. It is certainly a marathon. There's a lot of time to correct this thing, but the level of concern, the antennas are off here in Philadelphia, despite the Phillies still having the best record in baseball. On the other side, I want to get into this bullpen as well as preview this upcoming homestand, and I will unleash my full rankings of who I trust least to most currently in the Phillies bullpen. That is next, right here on the Phillies Today podcast. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast with your host, Dan Wilson, yours truly. I'm going to now unleash, because I mentioned, you know, going into that last break, that there is a lot of concern currently with this Phillies bullpen, and where things currently stand is not good. I feel like this bullpen has fallen off a cliff fast, and that's concerning, especially considering this bullpen really just hasn't, relative to other teams, hasn't pitched a ton of innings because the starters have been so damn good, but nevertheless, there's still fatigue. You know, Rob Thompson trying to manage the starters' innings. It's not like these guys haven't been worked. And in particular, you know, the big three there for a while, Jose Alvarado, Jeff Hoffman, Matt Strom, have especially been worked a lot, or Ryan Kirkering as well. And now we're in a situation where if you miss the game on Wednesday, like, they're seemingly, Rob Thompson seemingly avoiding going to Jose Alvarado at all. Like, he's on the roster, but he's just trying to give him like a week off and just try and let him work through this and work on his fatigue and get him back right, because he can be such an up and down guy. A couple of years ago was sent down to AAA and reemerged as one of the best relievers in baseball. So, you know, Alvarado has been really, really concerning of late. I'll let you know where he comes in my rankings here in just a second. But, you know, overall, I think this bullpen is starting to hit their wall a little bit, and that's something that Rob Thompson's going to have to manage through. Again, with 60 games to go, you need these guys for those 60 games, and you're going to need them even more so in the postseason. And, you know, games are going to shorten up in the postseason. You know, average starts go from 7 innings to 6 innings, or 6 innings to 5 1/3, 5 2/3. You're going to need 12 to 13 big outs a night. I know the stat is, over the past 2 postseasons, the average start length for Philly starting pitchers again in the 22 and 2023 postseason was 5 2/3 innings. You know, who feels great right now about 13 outs out of this bullpen? I certainly do not, but I will give you my stock rankings as of right now. So coming in at number, so 8 guys in the bullpen, you know, 13 pitchers on the roster, 5 guys in the starting rotation, 8 guys in the bullpen. So at number 8 is Junior Marte. I mean, obviously, I think he is dead last. He's the first guy to leave if they need to send someone down. He's been back and forth a number of times between Lehigh and the Phillies this season. He's the least experienced. You bring him in really, really, really low leverage spots. I mean, he is effectively the 26th man on the roster, him or Stubbs, but certainly he's the last guy on the pitching staff. He knows it. It's not a secret to anyone. I don't think Junior Marte will sniff a big spot all season, let alone in the postseason. So he comes in at number 8. Jose Ruiz comes in at number 7. And it's a shame because this is a guy earlier in the season that I actually was beginning to develop a little bit of trust in. Not that I thought he was going to be getting big outs in October, but like Jose Ruiz felt like a guy who was actually emerged as an effective pitcher. And he's just, again, turned into a mop-up guy. Like bad outing after bad outing after bad outing. His role is clearly defined. Not that much ahead of Junior Marte. On this depth chart, he, I think, has a little bit more job security in the sense that he'll stay on the major league team. But Junior Marte, at the way down on the list, Jose Ruiz comes in at number 7. At number 6, it is Sir Anthony Dominguez. Again, a guy who's been in the Phillies for a long, long time, was the closer once upon a time. He's been on the roster since 2018. It's actually kind of hard to believe and, you know, has reemerged a couple of times here and just an impressive career and from a longevity standpoint. But right now, I mean, I just don't trust him basically in any type of big spot. I don't think he's going to sniff anything significant every time he steps into a game with any type of importance or any type of leverage spot. It feels like he blows it. He does not have the same effectiveness out there on the mound, the same command he used to have out there out on the mound as he once did. So he comes in at number 6. Number 5 is the guy who was being granted more high leverage spots and was ultimately given the 9th inning in Wednesday's game, and that's Gregory Soto. And I don't trust Gregory Soto at all. I think, I'm not even sure if Rob Thompson really does. I think he was ultimately, I would like to think, trying to figure out what he had in Gregory Soto. But that, I mean, that can't be your option week in and week out. Like Gregory Soto can't be the guy you're going to consistently in big spots. And the entire rest of the season up to this point, Jose Alvarado would have been that guy. Like it would have been an instance where Alvarado gets the 9th after Hoffman had pitched the 8th because there's no bona fide closer on this team. It's highest leverage guys. And he went to Hoffman for the 8th because those outs are more important in terms of the lineup and matchups. But Jose Alvarado, or Gregory Soto, I should say, not deserving of those spots, needs to be given lower leverage opportunities. That's just what he is. Like, I think I appreciate the experiment, trying to see what you can get out of Gregory Soto. I think it's been made very clear that experiment did not work. And number 4 is Jose Alvarado. And here's an interesting one, because a lot of people might say they have a Ryan Kirkery in the spot. I do not. Jose Alvarado is a guy who I think that, again, I had mentioned his stock is just way, way down these days. I think it's unfortunate that he obviously went down to the minors once upon a time. He obviously has unbelievable stuff when he's firing, but control is an issue. He doesn't always know where it's going. You know, the effectiveness of his pitches becomes an issue. I think this is a guy who's really endeared himself to Philadelphia. I have not lost trust in him long term, but in the short term, he's certainly the 4th guy I would want on the mound in a big spot for the Phillies. Number 3 is Orion Kirkering, and he's a guy who has not been super effective for the Phillies of late. Allowed 3 runs in the game on Wednesday. Kind of Mickey Mouse, because 2 of those runs do belong to Brandon Marsh effectively, but he had a bad outing in Pittsburgh as well. He has not looked nearly as effective out on the mound as he did much of the season. And I wonder if we didn't anoint Orion Kirkering, you know, better than he was too soon, if that makes sense. Like he we all kind of just threw him in that, like, oh, he's in the trifecta in the, or in the top three or four as a guy who can get big outs in the postseason. And Rob Thompson did trust him last year in a couple of big spots, somewhat out of necessity. Right now, I don't trust Ryan Kirkring a ton. And I think ultimately he can figure this out quickly. I think it's mental, but as of tomorrow, like, I think he needs, you know, he might have to go through the same thing Alvarado does, where he takes a number of games off in a row and just to get his mind straight, get hit the reset button. But that's scary because I just rattled off six relievers right there. Don't really trust any of them a ton. The only two guys who I trust at the top, and I think it's pretty obvious, number two is Matt Strom. Guy was an all-star. He's been a workhorse all season long, has been really, really effective. And he just feels like he can get out big outs at any point in the game. And he feels like he's always available. Rob Thompson goes to him quite a bit. He got two outs in the game on Wednesday. He had a bad outing in Pittsburgh, so nice to see him bounce back from that. So he comes in number two. And in number one, Jeff Hoffman, who has really eliminated the need to, like, go out and get a bona fide closer, in my opinion, at this trade deadline. I mean, I think you need more relief arms, but if you need a bona fide closer, if you want to go that route, or you want just a bona fide, like, who are going to get your three most difficult outs of the game, like, it's Jeff Hoffman. Like, he is your go-to guy. He, no one feels like no one has touched him all season long. Been one of the best relievers in baseball. Obviously very glad that him and Matt Strom got to go to the All-Star game. But, I mean, Jeff Hoffman is just that dude. Like, he is all reliable, pitched a scoreless eighth inning in this game. So Jeff Hoffman comes in at number two. Really quick before you know, we wrap it up here, again, off day on Thursday. Friday, they will open up a series with the Cleveland Guardians. Here's how the pitching lines up. Christopher Sanchez on Friday. On Saturday, so that's in the 6:40 game. 6:05 on Saturday, it'll be Tyler Phillips. And then 1:35 on Sunday, it'll be Ranger Suarez, looking for big starts out of all of them. Interested to see how Rob Thompson manages the bullpen following an off day, and just where his level of trust is. Who does he give big spots to? Because this is really where Rob Thompson's going to, you know, earn his money, earn that paycheck. He has been managing a lot of talent all season long. It felt like he could press any button in that bullpen, and it was working for him for much of the season. Well, now he's in a situation where he's managing guys going through adversity and guys going through struggles, and a guy like Jose Alvarado, who he basically has on the roster but is down for like a week. So this is really where the managing gets tricky, and I'm really, really interested from that standpoint to pay attention really just how Rob Thompson manages this and how the Phillies are able to get themselves out of these. This is the mental makeup. You know, how do they haven't dealt with adversity really all season. Are they going to bounce back, or are they just going to kind of fold and, you know, really, digress here? Not digress, but revert back to the mean, so to speak, in the standings, kind of similar to how the Eagles did. I don't think it'll be that bad. I'm not suggesting that. But we do know that in sports, just because a team starts out really, really hot does not mean it always ends that way. That's going to do it for the Phillies Today podcast. I've been your host, Dan Wilson. Until next time, have a great day, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.